So I'm going to share two interpretations of this passage, one that I think you'll like and one I'm not sure that even I like. But let's start with what's happening in the story. So three generations prior, God warned these people, these ancient people whose theological interpretation of their history we study to guide us in our theological interpretation of our own lives. God warned those people that with kings, you get war and you get poverty. Then with three successive kings, Saul, David, and Solomon, the people got war and they got poverty. They also got internal disunity. It seems that after King Solomon died, there's a question about whether Israel will be able to remain a united kingdom. The people, as you heard Rich read, go to Rehoboam, the heir of King Solomon, and say, please, be a more gentle king than your father was. Rehoboam goes to his father's advisors to ask them what they think, and they say, yes, be a king who is like a servant. But Rehoboam doesn't like that, because what's the point of having all the power if you have to use it for other people? So Rehoboam goes to his own friends, who advise him to double down on his authority. Flush, it seems, with their own new power because of their proximity, the heir. They just want to assert that power through violence. So Rehoboam takes their juvenile advice and the nation splits. Israel ruled in the north by Jeroboam, Judah in the south by Rehoboam. So the first interpretation, the one I think you'll like, and the one that gives me the most emotional satisfaction, is a warning about strong men. Leaders who surround themselves with sycophants and with yes men, with people who only affirm their beliefs, never counsel them, are dangerous and they are ungodly. Such leaders can only oppress and divide. Now, while that's true, it's also kind of a finger wag of an interpretation, and it's a not even remotely veiled critique of some of our current American leadership. Not even remotely veiled. And I don't think it serves us very well. I don't think it helps us to really know how we might serve God in this time, because it's nothing new. It's not a new theological insight. Warnings about leaders like Rehoboam, we could learn from taking one world history course. We don't have to come to church for that. So here's the other interpretation. And it begins with a coffee date I had a month ago with the lead pastor of the Cornerstone Church. So we talked a lot about a lot of different things over our time together. But one of the things that got us the most animated was our shared struggle to keep partisan politics out of our churches. Even though we are miles apart in our theology and the application of that theology, in this instance, we could agree that a house of prayer must be for all people, not for one political party. But there's some real struggles. There's some real challenges in doing that. For one thing, every other venue, it seems, in our lives demands that we make a choice. Democrats cannot vote Republican, and libertarians cannot caucus with the Greens. Everywhere we go, there is a loyalty test about our positions on abortion and health care, prisons, policing, and the climate. If you are for something, you have to be absolutely against its opposite or even variations therein. Another challenge to being a house of prayer for all people is unique to our venue. Because of the signs we have here, the gay affirming, the affirming of Muslims and immigrants sign over here, passersby, church shoppers, might assume that the members of this body align themselves exclusively with one political party. And that assumption, whichever it is, whether it's right or wrong, may dictate whether people feel like they can or even they should walk through those doors. Whether they can or even should walk through those doors. The result can be the divisions in Christianity, the things that separate us from the Cornerstone Church, begin to look exactly like the divisions of America's two-party political system. We risk becoming the United Church of Christ, no, the United Church of Democrats, instead of Christ. And maybe we're okay with that. Maybe we're okay with that. Maybe this is the one place we can come and make a partisan joke safely. The one place that we can come and not have to worry about who is in the room when we talk about the news or even where we get our news. Maybe that's okay with us. But if it is, we have to stop calling ourselves the United Church of Christ. You see the bind, right? Over there on our, what you call that, the education wing, on the east wall of our education wing, we have enormous letters that face the city's parking lot that say, United Church of Christ. And a few steps later, we support our Muslim neighbors and immigrants. God is love, including for all queer people. Over here, a message of unity that says we are agents of unity. And over here, messages that some people find more divisive than anything else they can imagine. Now, I'm not ever going to suggest we take our banners down. I will never suggest we take our banners down. In fact, after the last few weeks, I just want to put more banners up, right? Just everyone just walk around in a rainbow. The witness of those banners is hard won. God is absolutely as besotted with love for queers and immigrants and Muslims as much as God is besotted with love for straight people, citizens, and Christians. God is equally besotted with love for blues and for reds, equally. So the second reading, the second interpretation of this story, in addition to the warning about dictators and dictatorial leaders, is about disunity. It's about playing into the hands of those who divide in order to conquer. It's a warning about taking the self-serving, self-satisfying path of Rehoboam's friends instead of taking the self-effacing, all-serving wisdom of Solomon's advisors. We are called always to profess radical welcome in response to closed doors, but equally, we are required to practice radical welcome to those same door closers. So am I right that maybe the second version is a little more uncomfortable? The second interpretation is a little more difficult. I didn't want to preach this sermon. This sermon's been fighting me for a month. I didn't want to get anywhere near it. It would have been far more comfortable and enjoyable this morning to stay in the critique of Kings, the righteous, you know, when I get real big and loud, the righteous critique of Kings, instead of asking the question of how do we stop propping Kings up and how do we love the people that do the propping? And don't get the impression that I'm patting myself on the back for having taken that coffee date with the Cornerstone pastor. Don't think I'm putting myself out there as some big example. I didn't initiate the appointment, right? Miss United and Uniting here didn't initiate the appointment. And I only went because I had to. This role and this stole demand that I practice what I preach and I be what our East Wall says, United and Uniting, whether I like it or not. So maybe this isn't a sermon at all. Maybe it's just a request or the beginning of a conversation. You know, apparently winter's coming this week, by the way. So as those banners, those life-saving banners, I know they are life-saving banners, As they get whipped around by the snow, and then next spring when the breezes come back and they're still blowing, as we endure the gale force ongoing storm of the unending political season, come with me. Join me around the corner in leaning on that wall, leaning into our name of being united and uniting. How can we, without compromising this witness, the prayerful, loving witness of our banners, without compromising that witness, how can we make sure this place is a house of prayer, a sanctuary for all people, a living branch of God's beloved kingdom, instead of another outpost of the American partisan kingdoms? History teaches the same lessons to all people, whether they are of faith or not. What this time in history needs is a people of faith like ours, a faith that is curious, loving, open, ready to be challenged, and insistent on integrity, because then maybe we won't all have to learn the same lessons all over again. Amen.